State that had great pride in this WB logo.
And you'll stop at the Golden Blue.
It is a great night to be a Mountaineer wherever you may be.
And now it's the show brought to you by Mountaineer fans for Mountaineer fans, the Country Roads Webcast.
What's going on, Mountaineer Nation? Welcome into another live stream here on the Country Roads Webcast channel, Spring Stream 3. I know it's been long time since Spring Stream 2, but hopefully you caught, you know, the basketball live stream we did yesterday, kind of explained a little bit of that. Been a tumultuous time, you know, from getting a new vehicle to water leaks inside the house, plus, you know, more. I won't go down that rabbit hole again, but nonetheless, back here again to talk some WVU football this time. Our, you know, weekly Q&A streams that we try and do throughout the spring weren't, you know, as frequent as I would have liked them to be, but back with one more here before the spring game. And, you know, fingers crossed, I'm going to try and do one more prior to the spring game, whether it's on my car ride up there or, you know, getting close to, you know, kickoff time if I'm able to. And I'm going to do a post-game spring stream on the channel here on Country Roads Webcast as well. And then I'm planning to join Joey over on the West Virginia Voice of College Football channel at 9 o'clock on Saturday that night following the spring game, talk a little bit about it there as well and do a recap. So I'm going to be doing plenty of WVU football talk here in the near future, and that's what we're going to be focused on here throughout this stream. Going to catch up on some news and notes that you probably need to know ahead of the spring game. You know, some injury news, some roster movement, things that I haven't had a chance to report on here on the CRW yet. Some of it may be a little bit older news to you. Some of it you may have not known. But either way, hopefully you get some enjoyment out of you. Appreciate you, you know, tuning in and chiming in. But as always is the case here on these live streams, I always, you know, let you guys guide the conversation as much as possible in addition to the news stories I have here. So any questions, comments, concerns you got there, drop them in the chat. Spring game coming up Saturday at noon. You know, got the Almost Heaven activity starting at, I think, 9 a.m. before that. Huey Mack concert at 10:30. So, I mean, plenty of activities beforehand. It's going to be a fun time up there Saturday. You know, no official confirmation, but believe we're going to get a uniform reveal as well. I know if you heard Talk Line yesterday, Neil Brown was a guest on there, and he mentioned some guest coaches for the game that are going to be, you know, some Mountaineer legends, is I believe the way that he put it. So hopefully we'll get an announcement on those here soon as well. That's why I'm saying I want to try and do one more of these live streams prior to the spring game, because, you know, once we know the roster of each team, those coaches, things like that, I don't know. I'm guessing that that's going to come out tomorrow at some point. I'm leaving, you know, super early. You guys know I live down here in Mercer County. It's about 3+ hour drive there to Morgantown. So leaving super early Saturday morning, and I, you know, close at work Friday night. So if I do a stream Friday night, it'll probably not be too long, but I do want to try and talk a little bit about that once it announced. So try and maybe do one more stream before the game. But other than that, let's catch up on some news and notes. There was another piece of transfer portal news. Hopefully yesterday you saw my April 24th transfer portal update. I covered E.J. Horton entering the transfer portal, the West Virginia wide receiver. Now we had another portal entry for the Mountaineers. This one coming from the offense as well. On the quarterback position, though, the only other scholarship quarterback that West Virginia currently has enrolled on the roster besides Nico Marchio and Garrett Green has entered the transfer portal. If you didn't know, here is his announcement, putting it out on social media today. Sean Boyle announcing he has entered his name into the transfer portal with 4 years of eligibility remaining after redshirting last season here at WVU, and he says grateful for his time here, excited for his next opportunity. So, you know, we knew that some portal entries would probably be happening for West Virginia. I'll pull up the transfer portal tracker in a second, and we'll talk about, you know, update the transfer out list. And if you didn't get a chance to see the transfer portal update I did yesterday, I'll share the targets West Virginia's sent out scholarship offers to as well up to this point, and I'm going to continue trying to update that throughout the offseason. Once the spring game happens this Saturday, you may see, you know, a couple more entries. West Virginia was over the scholarship limit, so we knew these were going to happen. But we also know West Virginia is targeting some players. Some of that is due to some of the injuries they've suffered. I'll talk about that momentarily. But as far as Sean Boyle goes, I think that they're really high from what I've heard on Scott Keane, you know, the preferred walk-on quarterback. I think that him and Sean Boyle were kind of battling in the spring for that third-string quarterback spot. Is this an indication that maybe Keane kind of won that competition? Or is it also an indication of Sean Boyle seeing that the coaching staff may be higher, in his opinion, on, you know, Khalil Wilkins, who will be here as well and is going to be a true freshman this season? He'll be, you know, the only other scholarship quarterback on the roster now, in addition to Nico and Garrett, kind of the same role that Sean Boyle had last season. Khalil Wilkins will have that this year as a true freshman that's, you know, the only other scholarship quarterback. But I'm guessing, you know, if anything were to happen, knock on wood somewhere over here, if anything were to happen to both Garrett and Nico, that it would probably be Scott Keane that would step in. I would, you know, find it hard to believe they would rely on a true freshman in Khalil Wilkins, although I do think Khalil Wilkins is really talented and has some good potential. I think, you know, he's a bit of a developmental process to get there, so I think that you would have to go to someone else at that point. But, you know, hopefully that's a bridge we never have to cross, but just kind of trying to provide some backstory to why Sean Boyle would transfer, because I think that this is not one that anybody really threw out there as a prediction when people were trying to predict players that may leave because they knew that we were over the scholarship limit. But I think that that's one of the reasons why there's maybe, you know, the coaching staff does seem to be pretty high on Scott Keane. And of course, Khalil Wilkins coming in the summer as well. Maybe he thought he had a better chance of getting, you know, early playing time somewhere down the road, because if Khalil Wilkins does come in and, you know, more or less beat out Sean Boyle, then, you know, that kind of puts him out of the race there, because the way things are working now, guys are waiting their turn. Thus far, it's how it's been with Garrett, and looks like it's going to be with Nico, and then hopefully whoever follows them up, whether that's Khalil Wilkins or, you know, another quarterback yet to be named. But let's pull up the transfer portal tracker here now that we have that update of Sean Boyle. Now we can add his name to the transfer out list here for the Mountaineers. Like I said, they've done a great job this cycle and, you know, throughout this offseason, really managing the transfers, like, you know, better as far as not as many high profile guys leaving, I guess, right? You know, that one year they had several starters leave. This year it's really been a lot of reserve players that have left. And I think a lot of cases it's really been mutual decision departures, is what I like to call them, you know, where it's the staff not being upset about it, the player not being, you know, mad to leave, you know, feels like they got a better chance of playing time somewhere else. And a lot of these fall in that category. Sean Boyle, the most recent one there, as you see the transfer out list. Of course, you know the transfer in list by now. As I mentioned in the transfer portal update I put out yesterday, all of these guys will be here. If you're heading up to the spring game on Saturday, or if you're watching it, you know, on TV, wherever you'll be tuning into the spring game, you will see pretty much all of these guys in action, save for, I believe, TJ Crandall is out with an injury. I think that all the other ones will be playing in the spring game. A lot of which battling for, you know, if not starting roles, then very prominent roles. You know, just to touch on them, Aiden Garn just stood out a lot in spring practice. They've been talking about him, you know, getting multiple picks at times, pick sixes, really fast cornerback, you know, keeping up with the faster receivers on the roster. Jaden Bury, I'm sure you've heard a lot of people talk about him just being a guy that can really go up and catch anything, really strong physical receiver that has deceptive speed. He'll be one of the, you know, four starters if you're going 10 personnel for the Mountaineers. I believe Jaden Bray will be one of the four that's out there. I think you're looking at really a solid four starters between Traylon Ray, Hudson Clement, Jaden Bray, and Rodney Gallagher. TJ Crandall, like I said, he's battling a hamstring injury, but he's going to get into the mix. He's a name to watch for the future of West Virginia football, as the guy that had an extremely impressive offer list in the transfer portal. Ty French, as a guy, Gardner-Webb, playing a little bit out of position. They were using him kind of as a Mike linebacker, but really he's a prototypical pass rusher, and that's what West Virginia is kind of going to use him more as. I think he will be used kind of situationally at first till he, you know, kind of gets his feet wet and gets used to, you know, coming up to this level. But I think he could be an absolute weapon for West Virginia, him as well as TJ Jackson. You've got a guy a couple spots down there from Troy, defensive lineman, really highly regarded, one of the highest rated defensive lineman transfers according to PFF in the entire country. And West Virginia just adding him to what is already a deep defensive line. Unfortunately, they did lose a member of that throughout the spring. I'll talk more about that momentarily. And West Virginia, you know, has some DBs battling injury as well, which is why they're targeting, you know, a DB. We'll talk about those targets here in a second. Reed Carrico playing the Mike linebacker position. West Virginia is going to have a solid linebacking core this year. That's one of the things I'm most looking forward to in the spring game, I think, is we know that this offense is going to be really good. But if this defense performs well and the offense doesn't overshadow them, I think that that will really, you know, tell a lot, because that could be a big step in saying, okay, this defense has definitely improved, because this offense that we have that we believe could be one of the best in the country, certainly one of the best in the conference, didn't completely overpower them. I think that will go a lot to say about our defense's improvement. And it seems like they have a lot of players there for that improvement. And the linebacking core is something that I'm really going to be watching, because obviously you've got two guys coming back from injury that are really high profile guys, really highly regarded, with Trey Lathan and Josiah Trotter. Excited to watch both those guys play. Of course, Ben Cutter now in his second season, more development. And then you got Reed Carrico coming in from Ohio State, really highly regarded out of high school, you know, Ironton, Ohio guy. And I think that he's tough, you know, gritty player that really fits West Virginia's defensive scheme a lot better than what they were doing at Ohio State. Not to say that, you know, obviously Ohio State recruits good players, but I think he's just a better fit here at WVU. Then Xavier Bosley, obviously the offensive lineman coming over from Jacksonville State. And, you know, he's obviously been tutored great. Rick Trickett, the offensive line coach there. Mountaineer fans very familiar with him. Rich Rodriguez, the head coach there as well. So, you know, a little bit of West Virginia ties there. But coming in battling, he's going to, you know, see some playing time. I don't know if he's going to start. Him and Nick Malone kind of battling for that right tackle spot. Looking like Nick Malone has the edge there currently, but I think if he doesn't get the spot, then you'll look at him to be kind of one of those part-time starter guys, much like Malone himself was last season, along with Jaquay Hubbard. Bosley will be in the offensive line rotation this season, and I think he's got a chance to be a really good player, has multiple years left, and has a really high ceiling. And then, of course, the defensive backs that have been talked about a lot, Jaheim Joseph and Garnett Hollis, are guys you're really probably going to want to watch on Saturday. Both those guys got the potential to probably be starters for West Virginia. Garnett Hollis, I think, almost solidified to be a starter at cornerback for West Virginia. You know, they're talking him up much in the same way they talked up Beanie Bishop after his addition last season. And when you look at Garnett Hollis, not only is he here earlier than Beanie Bishop was, being here for spring ball. Remember, Beanie Bishop didn't come in until after, you know, summer and came in for the fall. So he's here earlier, so he's getting acclimated sooner. That's a big addition. But also, he has more prototypical, you know, professional defensive back size. And that's why I think you've heard Neil Brown say he could see Garnett as an NFL draft pick. You know, 6'2", 200-plus pounds, can really run, can cover, you know, anyone on the field. So a lot of those transfers you will get to see this Saturday in the spring game, and I'm excited about a lot of those guys. But then the other thing that I've talked about in the most recent transfer portal update, might as well cover it here too, is the targets West Virginia is going after. I know in a recent stream, maybe on Spring Stream 2, matter of fact, I can't remember, I talked about a tight end West Virginia had offered a scholarship to, a junior college tight end, Justin Wolf. He committed to Kansas State a couple of days ago, so he is off the board. But the Mountaineers have sent out scholarship offers to the following players here. At least there may be some more that have gone out since I've had a chance to update this list, but I do know they've sent offers out to at least these guys, a couple of which have came on visits or are still scheduled to come on visits. Those two being Brandon Lane, a defensive lineman from Stephen F. Austin, and Deonte Hill, a defensive back from Marshall. And I think that's one to keep an eye on, because West Virginia, you know, it's probably surprising. We're adding defensive backs. We had, you know, Jacoby Spells returning. We had Montre Miller returning. And, you know, we just added all those transfers that I talked about. But you also got to think T.J. Crandall's battling an injury. Jacoby Spells, I'll talk about that momentarily. He's going to be out for, seems like, a significant amount of time. So West Virginia may need another body there. So that's why they're targeting a defensive back. But Hill and Lane have scheduled visits to WVU. And then Xavier Lazowicki, an offensive lineman from Maine. You know, another thing you're looking at is offensive line. It seems like we're pretty solidified there, but it's one of those things where if there's a guy that's, you know, really a good player and he's only going to improve your unit, why would you not go after him? This guy's, you know, 6'6", very highly regarded FCS transfer. So take your shot, offer him a scholarship. West Virginia's also offered Diamante Diggs from Youngstown State. Benton Williams from Auburn, that's another good offer. I think he could fit in as a bandit at West Virginia. Alex Howard from Youngstown State also. So those are kind of the transfers West Virginia's offered to this point. Wanted to update that a little bit here. And then we'll pull up the roster here momentarily, talk a little bit about it. And, of course, we'll pull Sean Boyle off of that roster as well. But take a swig of my coffee here. Like I said, anyone that's in here live, appreciate you tuning in live. You know, share your questions, comments, concerns there. ahead of the spring game? What are you looking forward to seeing? What are you excited about? You know, anything you got there WVU related, drop it in the chat. Touch on your comments throughout here. And if you are in here live, be sure to hit the thumbs up button. Really appreciate that. And that helps us if you're watching on the playback also. It really helps a ton with the YouTube algorithm.
All right. Much better, much better.
Got to wet the whistle. And speaking of wetting the whistle, I got a couple highlight clips. I'm going to try and share, you know, these periodically throughout the stream here just to kind of wet our whistles ahead of the spring game, right? We know we're going to get to see a lot of glimpses of these teams. And one guy, you know, that's a newcomer that you haven't seen yet that you're going to get to see on Saturday is a guy that enrolled early. He's one of the freshmen that enrolled early. I'll talk about those momentarily here when I pull up the roster. But that's Zay Jennings, and he's a guy that the coaches have been talking a lot about. Seems like he's going to fit as maybe a spear, but, you know, they've been putting out little highlight clips. You know, he's gotten some interceptions throughout practice, and how about a clip of one of his interceptions here posted on Twitter earlier this week, little 15-second clip here. You see that making a great break on the ball, and looks like that's one that he took and ran with afterwards as well. I know they talked about him having a pick six at some point. You know, that may have been one of them there. So I think that, you know, that's a guy that's making plays on defense as a youngster. So some of these newcomers are really standing out, and it's not only the transfers, some of the freshmen also that you're going to get to see on Saturday. So let's pull up the West Virginia football roster tracker here on the CRW. And for the main reason being, we can remove Sean Boyle off here for now. And once the spring game happens, you know, we get into summer, we get into May and June, we're going to start seeing the rest of the freshmen enroll. And once, you know, they enroll, I'll go ahead and place them here on this roster once they show up on WVU's official roster. So I'll put out roster update videos throughout the summer as the freshmen come in. Of course, they'll all be dated with, you know, whatever date the roster update comes out, so you can keep up with it in the playlist on the channel like I always do there. But having said that, you know, most recently here, this will be a roster update to remove Sean Boyle, of course. If you haven't followed these in the past here on the Country Roads webcast, only includes scholarship players on this roster. So there'll probably be a lot of guys you see play in the spring game on Saturday whose name you won't see on this roster, including, you know, Scott Keene at quarterback, who you will, I'm sure, see play. Because right now it's just Garrett Green and Nico as the scholarship quarterbacks for the Mountaineers until Khalil Wilkins gets here over the summer. But I wanted to highlight, after talking about Zay Jennings, the other freshmen that have enrolled early for the Mountaineers. You know, I've talked about them in the past, but if you don't know and you're interested to know, you know, some of the new faces you may see on Saturday, you know, I talked about the transfers when you talk about some of the freshmen also. Jack Samarco at tight end is one, and he's a guy that, you know, I think just this past week the coaches were talking about him as a guy that has potential to really be a big player in the future because he's coming in enrolling early, which is going to help him, you know, in his development for one. But he's also really ready-made size-wise, you know, kind of compares to Cole Taylor. 6'6", 242, I believe, coming in as a true freshman. So that's, you know, great already. And he can add more weight to that and really have an excellent frame to, you know, not only hold up as a blocker, but he already has, I'm sure, the pass-catching capabilities, and that's what they really like about him. And, you know, with the Mountaineers looking for a second pass-catching tight end to add to Cole Taylor, that's why they sent that scholarship out to Justin Wolf, that junior college transfer tight end I was talking about earlier. You know, Jack Samarco is not necessarily out of the running for that role. You know, I think Will Dixon kind of has the inside track there. He's a guy that you'll probably see a lot of on Saturday. But Jack Samarco is a freshman that enrolled early and is here and playing tight end for the Mountaineers. Excuse me there. Still battling that cold, guys. That was another thing that, you know, kept me off here for a while. So, you know, the cough still lingers for me, unfortunately. Haven't got rid of it fully. It's been a lot of cough drops and stuff like that, but nonetheless, we power on, we power through. Elijah Kinsler, a defensive lineman that enrolled early here, he's going to be here. You may see him get some reps on Saturday, especially with some of the injury news, which will be the next thing I cover here. I know I've been teasing that, but I'm going to get to it here. I'm all over the place, right? But I got a lot of things to talk about that I haven't had a chance to touch on, so just trying to bounce around from topic to topic, but don't let that discourage you from throwing your thoughts or questions in there as well, and we'll touch on some of them also. But then we got Nate Gabriel, another freshman that enrolled early, nose tackle. He's going to be there this Saturday, and I think that they've really had some, you know, good things to say about him. And he moves up the ladder now with some of those injuries also, especially, you know, because he's at, you know, some of the similar positions there. Benon Muka, he's playing the spur position, formerly known as the Bandit. And they really, you know, have been saying, you know, good things about him. He was highly regarded as a recruit. So I think that he's a guy with a high ceiling in the future. He's just going to have to wait his turn because, you know, he's behind a couple guys really experienced, Tyron Bradley, Ty French, both going to be big pieces for West Virginia's defense this season. And then when you move on, I just mentioned Zay Jennings, talked about him a little bit. I think that out of most of these freshmen that I'm talking about, I think that he's the one that probably has the best chance to get on the field this season right away. You know, West Virginia has not a ton of depth at the safety position for one. They're also trying to figure out exactly how they're going to use their spear in any given situation. They've been using Aubrey some there this offseason. They think they're making use of Gene Joseph some there. They're cross-training a lot of guys. So Zay Jennings, I think, is going to have a chance to get on the field this season and maybe make a name for himself. Then you also have Israel Boyce, another safety that's here on campus, you know, came in as a defensive back. So, you know, I think these guys here, these defensive back spots, have a good chance. You know, they're not true freshmen, but I do want to highlight the Jackson twins, Jordan Jackson and Josiah Jackson. I think especially Jordan may have a chance to get on the field this season or make an impact. So those were the guys that enrolled early. I wanted to talk about them here in this roster update, but mainly wanted to, of course, remove Sean Boyle from the roster now that he has transferred out. And, of course, be updating this throughout the offseason as the freshmen roll in, as transfers come in and roll, all that good stuff. Will be plenty of roster updates after the spring game as well. But having said that, I will finally touch on that injury news now. And then I see some people in the chat there. Appreciate you guys. Get to those questions here momentarily. Let me update this injury news real quick because I've been saying I was going to do it for forever now. But Corey McIntyre Jr. obviously is one out for the spring, possibly longer. I think that that's kind of where we're at on both of these. Unfortunately, McIntyre Jr., I think, is maybe even going to be a further injury than, you know, Jacoby Spells, who we'll talk about momentarily. But Corey McIntyre Jr., obviously, his dad, you know, Corey McIntyre Sr., long career at WVU. And it's just threw me off. Why is this saying South Florida? Why is it South Florida's 247? It's definitely on Ear Sports, but I don't know. Anyways, this is from the West Virginia 247 site. It's written by Chris Anderson, so I have no idea why this is pulling up South Florida. That's so weird, guys. It threw me off. But Corey McIntyre Jr. suffered a knee injury and will miss the remainder of spring, likely longer. The extent of the injury not known at this time. Neil Brown said, we'll know more about it soon, didn't look good. So obviously you hate to hear that because he's a guy that's really been standing out a lot. They were talking him up a ton throughout the spring. And despite the fact that he was only a redshirt freshman, I think that he was going to be in the rotation along that defensive line. And I think that that's one of the reasons that you saw, you know, a couple days later, West Virginia sent out those scholarship offers to those, you know, defensive linemen that I shared in the transfer update there. So I think that that's one of the reasons because he was probably going to be heavily involved in the rotation. And then the other piece of injury news, you know, West Virginia has not had anything, you know, like I said, knock on wood again somewhere that has been too detrimental in the spring yet. Besides, you know, these two that I'm talking about, there's a couple other people that have been limited, mainly guys that have had, you know, off-season procedures. That's kind of precautionary, just not ready yet. You know, look at a guy like Bryce Biggs, you know, his preferred walk-on lineman. Thomas Remock hasn't been playing a ton. Cole Taylor, C.J. Donaldson, you know, probably won't see a ton of them on Saturday. And then, you know, on the defensive side, Sonny Redwood, same story there. He's supposed to be ready to go for the fall, though. But Jacoby Spells out the rest of the spring, might miss some of the fall camp. I think this was that was the initial report, but I think I heard Neil Brown say they feel like it will go into the fall some now. So I think that's why, one of the reasons they're targeting defensive backs. Also mentioned T.J. Crandall has been out a majority of this spring dealing with, you know, just a nagging hamstring injury that he kind of came in with when he transferred in. This from WVSportsNow.com and Mike Oste. But Jacoby Spells, rest of the season, maybe even fall camp with an upper body injury. So sounds like something that will probably need a procedure. And, you know, you hate that for Jacoby Spells because it seemed like the year that he was finally going to have a chance to get involved, have a chance to battle for one of those two starting spots, or at least be very heavily involved in the rotation. So hopefully when he comes back, he's, you know, back better than ever and ready to, you know, battle into that rotation because West Virginia has a ton of good defensive backs on this team, I think, this year. And it's not going to be like last season when you had, you know, Malachi Ruffin and Beanie Bishop having to be Iron Man. I think West Virginia has, you know, probably anywhere from 4 to 6 cornerbacks they can count on across the, you know, two cornerback spots, given, you know, if everyone stays healthy and can get healthy, you know, that includes T.J. Crandall and Jacoby Spells. But having said, let me catch up on some of your comments here. Kenny Evans says, what's running back depth chart look like? Do you see any running back leaving and who is in the shadows? Well, basically, you know, you're looking, CJ, obviously, Jaheim are going to be your main guys. Excited to see both those two play together. But Jalen Anderson, I think this is big for him. You know, he's reportedly had a pretty good spring, and that's good for him. Hopefully he has a good showing on Saturday as well, you know, because he's one of the guys that's kind of, you know, in that question mark. Is he going to stay or is he going to go? I think a lot of people expected him to go like when Justin Johnson did, but he stuck around. And, you know, hats off to him for doing that, and hopefully it pays dividends for him, because let's not forget, you know, year before last, game against Oklahoma State, he breaks, what, 260-plus yard runs or something like that. Ends up with, you know, minimal carries, 150-plus rushing yards. So he's a guy with a lot of talent as well. And if he can, you know, get back to that form and you add him in with C.J. Donaldson and Jaheim White, that's absolutely scary backfield. But in addition to those guys, you're looking at some preferred walk-ons that you'll be seeing here in the spring game. Clay Ash, a guy that just came in. They really like him a lot. He's kind of a bigger body guy. He's going to be, you know, a freshman. He enrolled early as a preferred walk-on. And then you have Judah Price, you know, a guy from Independence High School, a local product, redshirted last season. You know, he's got to put on some more size. I think he came in, you know, kind of slimmer, 160, 170. But they've seen some good things out of them. So I think that, you know, in the spring game, it might look a little thin because you really only have, you know, the three major scholarship guys. But, you know, in the can't forget that in the summer, you're bringing in Dior Hubbard and Trayvon Dunbar, who both are, you know, really talented running backs to add to that room. You know, Dunbar is a bigger guy, but he's also got great speed. And Dior Hubbard is, you know, super highly regarded. You know, I think that West Virginia has been hitting home runs on their running back finds the past couple of recruiting classes. And I think they've done that again with these two. So I think the running back depth's, you know, looking good overall, Kenny. I really do. Zach, are you, I asked if I'm going to do a post-game live at the spring game. Yeah, this may have came after I said that earlier. I'm not sure. I hope that you didn't see it yet. But either way, yeah, I'm planning on it. Going up, me and Steven here, you know, from the show as well, one of the co-hosts. Hopefully we're going to do a post-game up there. And I'm hoping to maybe do something pre-game as well, whether it's on the drive up or if the signal is, you know, capable once we get in the stadium. I tried to do it last year inside the stadium. Did not work at all. You know, y'all know how cell phone signal is up there inside the stadium, but post game, definitely for sure. Probably do that from the car. And then also later that evening, once I get back home, come back here, set up inside the studio, and going to do a post game show with Joey over on the West Virginia Voice of College Football channel. That's at 9 p.m. Saturday night. But I'm also hoping to, once they announce the rosters, you know, come on here maybe late tomorrow night or something and, you know, tell you guys, you know, these are the rosters, these are the coaches, because there are going to be guest coaches as well. And so hopefully we find out some more info, whether it be later this evening or tomorrow day, some point, hopefully be able to come back one more time, give you guys a stream. And yeah, post game, we'll be back to do something, Zach, for sure. That's the plan. Other than that, hey, you guys watching the draft tonight? I got the Zach Frazier jersey on, man, hoping to see the man drafted. You know, selfishly, I would not mind to see him drop to the second round because I'm a Panthers fan. We got, you know, pick 33 and pick 39, I think. So maybe, you know, fingers crossed he could wind up being a Panther. But I think there is a chance he goes tonight. You know, there's been some mock drafts that had him, you know, as high as somewhere in the 20s. So there's a chance Zach Frazier goes tonight. But I think, you know, either way, first or second round, that's pretty awesome to see for Zach Frazier. I think that that's what we're looking at. You know, third round at the very latest. But I got a good feeling he's going in the first two. Fingers crossed, but, you know, got the draft coming up here. I guess that's starting here just a little bit after 8. So try and wrap this up before too much longer, guys. But any other questions you guys got, drop them in the chat there. Stay with you guys a few more minutes. I got one more news story to cover, but how about one more highlight clip before that? And then this one is a good one. It's a little bit shorter, but it's very nice. And this is actually the receiver that they've said has stood out the most throughout spring practice, surprisingly. You know, when you've heard a lot about Traylon Ray, you've heard a lot about Hudson Clement. And, of course, the other news story that I'll talk about is about Rodney Gallagher. But Preston Fox, you know, I think it's multiple times now Neil Brown has said, you know, he's been the most consistent of the receivers. And, you know, it's probably stuff like this is a big reason why. We've always heard he catches everything. But one-handed grab, let's run it back one more time. And it's one-handed backhanded, too. I mean, that's not easy to do on the run. Catches it in stride and, you know, crosses the goal line. So I think that these West Virginia wide receivers are going to have a, you know, a good year between Preston, Hudson, Traylon, and, of course, you know, Jaden Braid that I talked about, and then Rodney Gallagher, right? That's a guy that came in, you know, super highly regarded. And last year they found ways to get him involved, whether it was sweeps, screens, reverses, you know, and you saw the talent when he had the ball in his hands. I think this year he'll be targeted more in the passing game. But how about the athletic ability? We knew he was a two-sport athlete, but how about him being a two-way player here at the college football level? you know, Travis Hunter-esque, if you will. Rodney Gallagher been taking snaps on defense, been playing the nickelback some. This article from WV Sports Now as well, but Neil Brown added this. He's pushing to be a starter receiver, and he's a guy we want to get the ball. He's also a guy that could potentially give us some snaps at nickel. So Rodney Gallagher is going to see a ton of action this year. Who knows if he'll play both sides of the ball, but, you know, I mentioned West Virginia needing, you know, some extra bodies right now to add depth at defensive back, and you see Rodney Gallagher, you know, answering that call, and who knows if he'll continue to do that, but it definitely seems like something that's a possibility, trying to get him involved and on the field as much as possible. Kenny says, any news on the college football game? Can't wait. Yeah, Kenny, I got a ton of updates I do on my other channel, JC's Pop Culture. Let me see if I can drop the link in the chat there. I think I just – the last one I put out was a couple days ago, but, yeah, man, I've got all kinds of them over there. May 16th is going to be the full reveal, July 19th release date. Garrett and Jaheim have opted in. I know that. Mike Kazaza tried to FOIA request WVU to get some of their information. They wouldn't release it, but hopefully in the near future we'll know more about it. Other schools have kind of shared with some reporters some of their stuff that'll be in the game, but – definitely, I think you're going to expect, you know, a lot of cool WVU stuff in that game. It's going to be a lot of fun. I dropped the link to that other channel in the chat there, Kenny. You know, check that out and subscribe if you haven't. Doing the updates on that college football game leading up to the release in July, and I'm going to be talking a ton about it after that also, but also talk, you know, movies and TV shows and stuff there too. But definitely, I'm super excited about that, Kenny. Can't wait for that college football game. WVU is going to be super fun to play with on there, right? I mean, think back, you know, PS2, you know, days when you had Pat White and Steve Slayton on the game. West Virginia was one of the funnest teams to play with on there. I think you're going to see that again this year when you got Garrett Green, Jaheim White, you know, CJ Donaldson, the receivers I just named. That's going to be a fun offense to play with, especially, you know, with the playbook and, you know, some of the cool plays West Virginia was running last season. If they, you know, honor that and do it right and do it justice, and West Virginia's offense is, you know, cooked up by, you know, an innovative mind like Chad Scott has shown us his can be, West Virginia's going to be a lot of fun with to play with on that game, Kenny, for sure. What's my opinion on the Super League talk, Kenny asks. Honestly, I'm not mad about it as long as West Virginia has a seat at the table. And, you know, with the way that they're trying to organize it now, West Virginia would be involved and would have a seat at the table. So, hey, that's fine with me. I think it's a completely different story if you're not involved in that Super League. You know, you're not involved in that, what is it, 60 to 70 teams they're talking about or whatever. It's a completely different story then, though. So, you know, with West Virginia being one of those teams involved, I don't really have too much to complain about, honestly, Kenny, because that's the way it looks like it's going. And if it's heading that way, just want to be involved. And, you know, right now I think that we're in a good position, especially with the 12-team playoff kicking in this year, wide-open conference. And, you know, if we win the conference, you're in the playoff. So I like West Virginia's position right now. I think that they're in a good position to, you know, set themselves up for future success by, you know, being competitive within the Big 12 conference, which is, you know, a conference that's being recognized nationally, getting those automatic bids for the playoffs and stuff. So West Virginia's in a good spot, and that's what matters most. Last couple things I got. Hey, Timothy Green, what's going on, man? Good to see you in here, Timmy. Let's go Mountaineers indeed, as always. Last couple things I got to share with you. I'm going to show you a video real quick of Garrett Green mic'd up. About a minute long they shared on the West Virginia social media. It's pretty fun. And then last thing I'll share after that is Neil Brown recently made an appearance with Barrett Sally of the Believe Network there on his podcast. I'm just going to play a clip of Neil Brown talking about spring standouts for WVU. But let's talk about Garrett Green first. Let's show this little clip of him mic'd up at practice.
We are back. You are close. No, you weren't. You know better.
Get it.
Yeah! Let's go, baby!
Come on, Ryan!
Yeah. Phenomenal hands. Simmer down, Wynn. Please. Hunter is the best manager in the history of managers. I'm so thankful for his commitment to the program. Make sure you get that. Hey, you know what that hand signal means?
Praise God.
Oh, okay. I didn't know what that signal was. Here we go. Hey, great job getting eyes around, T-Ray. There we go, brother. Let's go, brother. Come here, TB. You need a hug. Come here. You need a hug.
Don't stay on my face.
Yeah, he caught it. Here we go. I lost count and started counting again.
I got, look at these legs, bro.
Oh, I'm so scared. I'm shivering in my boots right now.
Hey, Taylor. There we go. There we go.
JB. JB. Great job, big boys. Run the ball. Shut up. Three times.
What's a non-Newtonian fluid then? What is it?
What is it? It's so it takes the shape of a bottle, and then when you shake it, it changes viscosity.
Thank you. From the 18 tee box at the Masters.
Oh, he got all of that one. It's in the hole. Oh, he got all of that one. It's in the hole.
How do you not love Garrett Green? And that's great stuff. And my favorite part of that video, I mean, I enjoyed a lot of those parts, but my favorite is probably the very end, just seeing him and Tyron Bradley share that embrace. And, you know, despite the fact that they were probably just going at each other's heads because, you know, Garrett Green likes to trash talk. Then, you know, when they were huddling up there, at, you know, into practice, both those guys, you know, sharing an embrace, you can tell that this team really loves each other. And that's why I have a really good feeling about this season. Kind of goes right into your question, Kenny. What is my early season prediction? I mean, I don't want to give it away. You guys know we do the season prediction roundtable every year. It's going to be the 8th annual this year. So I don't want to give it away too much, but I'll tell you, man, I think that last season was 8 regular season wins. I think you'll be above that this year. That's what I'll give you now, Kenny. That's what I'll give you now. Timmy says his early season prediction is either 9-3 or 10-2. I would take that, Timmy. I'll take that any day. Any day of the week. Absolutely. But having said that, that's pretty much all the news stories I got. So if you guys got anything else, questions, comments, concerns, what have you, drop them in the chat. Like I said, I'll try and do one more live stream. Hopefully, well, maybe 2 more before the game, but definitely at least 1 more. And then, of course, we'll be a post-game stream as well. So anything you got, drop it in the chat there. I'm going to play this clip here. Neil Brown, like I said, on this podcast that came out, I think it was yesterday, maybe day before yesterday. Pretty awesome. If you haven't watched the full video, go check it out. It's about 30 minutes long. But this clip, you'll see, you know, the guy asked some kind of spring standouts. So I figured you guys would be interested, especially if you're, you know, tuning in the spring game on Saturday. You probably want to know what to watch for. How about some guys, you know, that have been standing out in the spring? That's probably some guys you want to watch for, right? So let's check this out. Neil Brown, you know, in his own words, some guys that have really stood out this spring and that he thinks are set for a big 2024 season.
So you're wrapping up spring practice this week with the spring game on Saturday. Is there one player or a couple players that have stood out this spring that maybe you weren't expecting to be, you know, as big of a surprise as they are?
Yeah, I think, you know, just start. We'll start on the defensive side. Garnett Hollis, who's a transfer from Northwestern, corner, been really impressed with him. You know, I think he's a draft guy next year. I think he'll make a big impact on our team and in our conference. I think that Aubrey Burks, we've moved him around. You know, he's a guy that's played a lot of football here and has graded out well. We're moving him around, getting some position flexibility. I really feel like our linebackers, you know, Trey Lathan, Ben Cutter, Josiah Trotter, who's a redshirt freshman, that's going to be a real strength of our team. And then Sean Martin on defense is another guy. He's a D lineman, played a lot of football here. He's 6'5", 295, and it's starting to click for him. And I think he's really not only turned into a really good Big 12 player, but a kid that's going to go early in the draft next year. And then offensively, Jaheim White's picking up right where he left off. Is a guy that's made a bunch of plays. Nico Marchio, who's our second quarterback, he's made a lot of progress. And then Garrett has fundamentally really improved. So those are some guys. I like our young receiver core. They played a lot as freshmen and first-year players. Preston Fox is probably the guy that's had the best spring of those guys. But I like that group and what they're giving us right now.
So yet again, you hear Preston Fox, you know, being named as one of the guys that's had the best springs in that receiver group. So just surprising to me that he's the, you know, one standing out. Not that I think he's, you know, incapable, but, you know, I've heard a lot of talk about Traylon Ray really having a breakout season, Hudson Clement taking the next step. So it just goes to show how explosive this West Virginia offense can be, I think, guys. So super excited for Saturday. Even more excited for this 2024 season in general. Can't wait to see, you know, the first – look at this team, the first glimpse of kind of the initial version, I guess, if you will, because there will be changes, though minimal, that happen, you know, going into the fall. I think you're basically looking at, you know, reserve spots and stuff that may change. Maybe you'll try and improve some reserve spots. But I think, you know, a lot of your starters you will get to see, you know, a good look at on Saturday, save for the ones that are out with injury. So, excuse me, like I said, guys, still battling that cough, trying to get over that stuff. Need to go get some cough drops in me and stuff. But we'll wrap this one up here before too much longer, guys. Get out here, go watch the draft. Hopefully see, you know, Zach Frazier's name get called, guys. Got to hopefully see that 54 in the NFL be the best center in the NFL now that we've seen him be the best center in college. Don't know if we'll hear it tonight. Like I said, selfishly, I'm hoping it falls to the second round so that he can go to the Panthers. But great chance to go here in the first round either way. Super excited for him to see him drafted. And, hey, you could see Beanie Bishop drafted, you know, day three, later rounds. He started popping up in some mock drafts after his great, you know, 40 time at Big 12 Media Day, or not Big 12 Media Day, Big 12 Pro Day. So definitely, you know, excited to check that out as well. That's going to be fun. Then, like I said, Saturday at the spring game, get there early. You know, got all the pregame festivities, food trucks, all kinds of activities starting at like 9 a.m. The Hubie Mack concert at 10:30, spring game at noon. You know, going to have some guest coaches. Like I said, I'll come back later. Hopefully, once they announce the rosters, do one more stream prior to that. And hopefully, fingers crossed, we're going to get to see that uniform reveal. It's going to be a lot of fun if so, guys. I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to it. But, appreciate you guys that tuned in here and chimed in. You know, Timmy, Earl, Kenny, all you guys, Zach, everybody, you know, that tuned in and chimed in. Appreciate that. If you didn't get a chance to tune in live, you know, watch on the playback. Appreciate that still yet. And either way, even if you are watching the playback, hitting that thumbs up button will still help a ton with that YouTube algorithm. But if you're a WVU fan and you haven't already, be sure to subscribe here to the Country Roads webcast. Be covering WVU football a ton, you know, more, of course, in the next couple of days with the spring game. But then throughout the offseason when there's roster movement, we cover all of that here on the channel. And, of course, leading into a fun 2024 season where you'll definitely want to be following here, be providing a ton of coverage on what will be a very successful WVU football season. I got a feeling that this will be a special one. And, of course, we're covering WVU basketball as well. Look for a couple of videos coming out on that. Most likely tomorrow morning. Had some good transfer portal news for the Mountaineers basketball side as well, getting a nice pickup addition there on that side. I want to talk about that some. So video coming out on that for basketball talk. So, you know, if you're into Mountaineer sports, subscribe here to the CRW. If you didn't get a chance to tune in live, throw your thoughts there in the comments. Try and respond there in text form. Appreciate those interactions as well. Looking forward to Saturday. Know you guys all are also hopefully get to chat with you guys again before the spring game. If not, I'll definitely talk to you guys afterwards when we get to see our first glimpse of this 2024 squad. Super excited. Can't wait to see it. It's going to be a lot of fun there in Morgantown on Saturday. So having said that, appreciate you guys tuning in this live stream here, Spring Stream 3 on the Country Roads webcast channel, April 25th edition. As always, I'm Jordan Cruz, and until next time, let's go Mountaineer. If you really want to know, then come on, let's go. Take a stroll down those...